again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I just greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Christmas time is a special time. It's so special that we need to spend time thinking about all that God has done in the greatness of his enormous salvation. It's important for you and for me, for all of us, in fact, to be quite aware that Christmas reveals a massive amount of contrasts. God created light in darkness and gave us this great light, Jesus. I would like to share this with you. You may think that I'm using a wrong word here, but Jesus came into the world at the directive of his Father. The Father had great love for mankind, and he sent his only begotten Son into this world so that through his death and resurrection, we could have the gift of the Holy Spirit living in us, and we could have the power of God upon us, and we could rejoice daily in the presence of God. God loves us and wants us to be near. So there is a sense, and it's this sense that I want to get over to you today, that he sent his only begotten Son on an errand. Now, the word errand is not often used today, but he had to bring a message, and he had to proclaim the message that God put in his mouth because it was God's message to all mankind. You see, there is a time to reveal the contrasts. God has created light in darkness, so he created remembrance in the midst of forgetfulness. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born, nobody could forget that. He was a child in Bethlehem of Judea. The skies opened not to Herod the king, not even to the Magi, though the Magi were led by a star, but it was to shepherds, poor, uneducated shepherds that lived in the desert looking after sheep. It was to these shepherds that suddenly there was a host of angels in the sky, and they were all singing and praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, goodwill on earth, peace toward all men. Jesus, unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given. Jesus is alive." Now, if I sound enthusiastic, I'm certainly not going to apologize. But I want you to realize that this is perhaps the most remarkable thing, because light came into darkness. If you look at Genesis 1, you will discover how it was that in the beginning God created the world. And you will also discover that one of the things that must have caused massive panic, God said, "Let there be light." And the sun shone in the day, and the moon at night. The light of the night was the moon, and the light of the day was the sun. Let there be light. There was a darkness over the land for over 400, maybe 700 years. God had not spoken to Israel. Ezekiel said that he saw the presence of God, the Spirit of God, remove himself out of the temple of God, go up to the Mount of Olives and ascend up into the heavens. The presence of God was gone from Israel, and they were at sea. So they relied on what they could remember, and the memory of the various generations in that time frame got dim about the glorious beauty of the Holy God. When they recognized that they were without this Holy God, they saw, perhaps, that they were in gross darkness, and the darkness was such that their spiritual lives were dead. They were dead in trespasses and in sin, and there was no doubt about this. If we're dead in trespasses and in sin, we're in a great darkness. The only light that can shatter the darkness, the only light is not a glimmer, it's not a candle light in the end of a tunnel. It is the brilliance of the Shekinah glory, the effulgence of his glory, the beauty of his holiness, the shining of his purity. When that comes into our hearts, we become changed. We become a new creation, remarks the Apostle Paul. We are not as we were, nor can we ever go back to it, because we are changed and we are called Christian. So to be a saint of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to recognize that being a saint, we are changed. We are changed. We're not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. Jesus prayed that while we were in it, we would live righteous lives, but we're not of this world. And he prayed that we would be kept in the spiritual righteousness of God the Father, in the purity of holiness, in the beauty of his grace, that God would keep us whilst we were in this world. Oh my, what a great proclamation this is. Light came into darkness, and Jesus came into the darkness of men's soul. When those heavens opened, the shepherds who were poor, the shepherds who were ignorant, really, very humble people, these shepherds said, come, let's go and see this thing that the angel has said to us and shown to us. And they went into Bethlehem, and they found the child laying in a manger, and so on. We know the story. But to know the story is not to know the Lord. And I want to say to you this. Do you know the light of Christmas? The brilliance of Christmas? The holiness of Christmas? Oh, I know where the word Christmas came from. And I don't really like it in one sense. But it doesn't matter whether I like it or not. I know that perhaps it wasn't on the 25th of December as we calculate time in this new generation. I know all those things. I've read about them. I've studied them. Yes, they're all there. But we do know this, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus wasn't making an empty statement when he said, I am the light of the world. All the people that were listening to him had to say, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's correct. Oh, yes. And they saw it. But it wasn't necessarily the people that would sit in the temple and discuss great theological dramas. It was a person who was stooped over as a cripple, who touched the hem of his garment. It was a man whose child had just died, and Jesus had walked into the room, and he had said, little maid, arise, and the child rose. It was a mother and a son who were going to the cemetery. The son was on a stretcher, and Jesus said, why weepest thou? And she said, well, isn't it obvious, in effect? She didn't use these words, they're not recorded, they're my words. But she said, in effect, don't you see my son is dead, and I'm a widow. I am without help. I'm without my darling son. And Jesus touched the bier, or the bier, or the stretcher, whichever word you prefer to use. And he said, young man, get up. People were astonished. Who would stop a funeral procession and tell the corpse to arise? Jesus did. And the mother was reunited with a living son. I'll tell you, that was light. When Mary and Martha were crying because their brother was dead, Jesus hadn't come for 4 days, and he must have known, they thought, in the first day that Lazarus was dead. And they were disappointed he didn't come. And when he did come, there was an accusation in Mary and Martha's voices when they said, if thou hadst been here, this wouldn't have happened. And Jesus said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? And they said, yes, we know that eventually No, Jesus was talking of right now. And he called out, Lazarus, come out of that grave. And Lazarus came out. I tell you, light shone in that family, shone in that community, shone in the joy of the hearts of everyone that recognized Jesus. But the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers and the authorities, the elderly Romans that governed the area, they did not see this Jesus in these ways. Oh, one or two did here and there, but not in the same way. So that when John sent and said to Jesus through his disciple, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Jesus said, Tell John, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor. Now, lots of us today are crying out because we're poor, but our poverty is nothing considering the way these people were at that time in Jesus' life. But the gospel is being preached to you. You don't have to be some great professor. You don't have to be some marvelous scholar. You don't have to be a pretending understander of all the Word of God. But you do have to understand Jesus is light in darkness. And at Christmas, we see the beginning of this in a tiny babe. A tiny babe. Now notice he was born King of the Jews. No palace, no prior announcement, except to those aware of the scriptures. It's curious to me that the Magi were from the east. Why wasn't it the clever people in Jerusalem? Why did they not understand this? It seems to me that there was a lack of understanding of scripture. Even though they read the Old Testament religiously, even though they performed their functions in the temple and in their synagogues religiously, there was a complete darkness of the real facts of Jesus, the fact that he is the Son of God, the fact that he is the Savior of the world, the fact that he died for our sins, the fact that he rose again from the dead. All of this is miraculous. It is really beyond telling. Yet it is light to those who will believe. There was no preparation for his birth. There was no room for him even in an inn, so that he had to go to a stable and was laid in a manger. No preparation. Yet the King of Kings is delivered into this world. It's a curious thing. He is called born King of the Jews, and he is Savior. Savior from what? The present circumstances. From political hurt, from personal harm, from hidden and unadmitted sin, from personal failure and loss, from selfishness and greed, from pride, and whatever soils the soul and bars our entrance into the kingdom of this King of Kings. Jesus is the Savior. He says, Come unto me. I will keep you. I will rest you. I will always be here for you. I will never forsake you or leave you. Oh, boy. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye believe in God, said Jesus. Believe also in me, this light. Believe in me. Because he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man can get to the Father but by me. And in my Father's house I have prepared and am preparing. And I go to prepare a place for you, that in that same heaven that I am going to, you may come, and your place is assured. You know, there's no mortgage foul up with God. He has given us a place, a mansion in his new city. He has given it to us. You do not have to pay payments, but you do have to receive this light of the world. And this shall be a sign unto you, a baby. Now we have trees and we have lights. We had angels and the heavens open. Today, at Christmas time, we drink. We have games, we have food, too much of it perhaps, and gifts galore. God's gift to mankind, the bread of life, is given freely. To as many as receive him, to them gave he the joy, the power to become the sons of God. Are you one? Do you know that? Can you say, I've eaten at the table of the bread of life? My Christmas is when I sat down with Jesus and ate the bread. My Christmas is when the table was lighted by the great, marvelous, shining Shekinah glory. It was when I drank from the rock and had life. I was thirsty and he gave me drink. I was hungry and he gave me to eat. I was imprisoned and he gave me freedom. I was lost and I am now found. This was my Christmas. Can you say that? Do you have a Christmas? Do you have a time in your life where you met with this Jesus and found that sitting at the banquet table with him, Christmas came into your life? There's so much to say here. But he stops the games of people that people play, and he quenches all thirst, quenches all thirst. It's also very important to understand that there was no room for Jesus in the inn. I have touched this before, but I've only touched it, and I'm not going to go into a lengthy explanation, but I want to go into some more explanation. You see, there's no room for Jesus in the inn. They went to the motel, hotel, whatever it was called in those days, caravansy, some people will say. And they went there, and they went to the innkeeper, and they said, Sir, we are here to pay the taxes to Caesar, and we need a room. We need a room for the night. And I think Joseph said, Look, my wife is soon going to give birth and I need a room badly. The man had a certain amount of decency in him. He said, Look, we've got nothing. We're crowded out. There isn't a room anywhere. But if you like, you can go in the stable. Now, we sometimes like to think that the stable was a horrible mess, but they kept their stables very clean. A manger was a place where there was new hay and new food for the animals to eat, and it was kept clean, so it wasn't quite as filthy as some people have pretended, but it wasn't a very nice place to stay the night. You would come away smelling of the stable, and the stable smells would be upon you. But here is where our Lord Jesus was born and laid in a manger. I know that you have a very crowded time in your life because you live in 2010 and we're all terribly busy. In fact, it's hard to take a day out to remember that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's hard to take an hour out of our entire week to worship him unless somebody shows us how to worship and what to worship with. We go to church and we sing hymns, we tap toes, and we say, Boy, that was a good worship. Was it? If your spirit wasn't worshipping Jesus, you did not worship Jesus. All you had was an emotional upheaval for a moment or two in your life. That's all. And that's all that happened. Now, you may be able to repeat that week after week when you go to church, but that is not worshipping God. For they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our spirit needs to be full of Jesus in order to worship. When Mary said, My spirit rejoices in the Lord, she was saying, I am filled with his spirit and I can rejoice, I worship. That's where the rejoicing starts. It doesn't start with an emotional upheaval. Worship is in the heart. You can always tell a congregation that is worshipping God in the heart, and you can very easily discover the one that is worshipping just with the toe tap and singing the hymn because it's now time to sing a hymn. I am amazed that so many churches today never read the scriptures. I am amazed at how many churches today don't want to read the scriptures. When I questioned a man once, kindly but questioning, no doubt, he said to me, You know, there's no time for that. By the time we have our music, it's time for the sermon, and we don't want to listen to too much of that. 20 minutes is all we want. It seems to me that we've got things back to front in some way, inside out. But you see, we're so crowded. There's no place for Jesus in our lives. We're crowded. There are too many people to think about. There's too much organization that needs to be done. There's masses of confusion in our lives. And by contrast, he hears and is never too busy. By contrast, heaven will never be too full. By contrast, crowded or lack of organization matters nothing to God. Whosoever will may come. You may come to this Lord Jesus, and he has a most welcome sign out for you. Jesus was unwelcome. We are always received with great love, enormous affection, and the Shekinah glory shines in the saint who comes to Jesus. Ever so quickly, the glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, they sang. Angels watched this new song being told. This was a new song and a new story. The song reflected the story, a story that was being told. The presence of God was in heaven, and his peace brought in the earth. How does that peace penetrate us who are so lacking in peace? My peace, said Jesus, I give unto you, not as the world give I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. And I say again, for I know I've said it many times, but I say again to you, peace in this world is a negotiable thing. The peace of God is not negotiable. He gave it. If you will come to him, you will receive his peace. Peace to enjoy your life. Peace to experience his presence. Peace to know that when you pray, he hears. Peace to know that when you read his word, he reveals himself. Peace that keeps your heart from trembling. Peace that allows you to die with dignity and carefulness. Peace that lets you have confidence in him. Peace, the peace of God that passes the understanding of the mind of man. Have you got that? You may have it, but you must trust this living Lord Jesus Christ and see that he is the light of this world. He is the brilliance. He is the effulgence of the glory of God, the brightness of God's presence. Will you allow that brightness to shine in your life? Will you lay down all your burden at his feet? Will you say, come unto me, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in and stay, come into my heart now, Lord Jesus, receive this gift. We'll all be terribly excited when we get under the Christmas tree and we pull out the parcels and all the packages and we say, look what has been given to me, and God has given me greater. Look what I've received from this person and that person. Oh, isn't this precious? Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this kind? We'll say all those things. But the beauty of Jesus must never be crowded out of our lives. Dear friend, it's ever so important for you and me that we know the glory of God in the highest. Angels watched this new story and song. The story was told, the song was sung. The presence of God was in heaven and the peace was brought to the earth. His loving kindness, his tender mercy wrote upon the fleshy tablets of our hearts. Christmas is not for children. It's for the children of God. It's not for little ones who believe in a mystic Santa Claus or Father Christmas. It's not for them. It is for those that will become childlike and put their faith, childlike faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to lead them and guide them and keep them and show them the way. You see, choirs imitate the angels, but that's all they do. I've listened to the Messiah in some of the most beautiful places in the world where the echoing and the acoustics were so remarkable that I can still hear the songs of the Messiah being sung. It moved my soul. I was in tears. Oh, yes, I was. I was tearful over just listening to the Messiah. But it was just a choir singing. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Jesus, Jesus, the Son of God is here. Well, I have to stop, but let us lay down all the things that would stop us from coming to him, and let us adore him, Christ the Lord. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord explain to you in your heart the fullness of his gospel. Let's pray together. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, most gracious God. Thank you for allowing him to be that brilliance, that brightness, that enormous glory. And help us to rest in the peace of that glory. Will you bless every person this Christmastide? Will you cause us all to give you praise and honor and glory? And will you cause our hearts to melt in your presence? We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Christmas. God bless you. Goodbye.